Laura Erickson this morning, joining us over the phone. A kind of an interesting and to some disturbing article appeared in the New York Times this morning, I understand. Laura, tell us more.
The article is titled, Three Biologists Question Evidence in Sighting of Rare Woodpecker. It's about three biologists who are challenging the data that was used to reestablish the existence of the ivory-billed woodpecker.
Are they saying that the data is not sufficient? Are they saying that it's being misinterpreted? What's their take on this?
They're saying that the bird in the video is a pileated woodpecker and that none of the individual sightings of ivory-billed woodpecker down in Arkansas are sufficient to actually establish that the bird is still existing.
Now, the video, many of us, of course, have seen the video on the news, and it really is kind of, you know, it's grainy. It's obvious that it was shot from quite a long distance away. On television, of course, they can do magical things to enhance video. Is there anything that could be done with this video to perhaps enhance it?
Well, no, because it isn't CSI. I've looked pretty carefully at the video, and I've seen pileated woodpeckers a lot. And to me, there's no question that it's not a pileated woodpecker in that video. The pileated woodpeckers have white on the trailing edge of their wing lining, so it's underneath that you see the white. When you see one flying across the road or something from above your height, you can see white. But when you see them from across, where you're seeing the upper part of the wing, you don't see white. And when you see it, even from below where you do see the white, it isn't a gleaming white because the other side of the feather isn't white at all. And so you don't have that, like, translucent effect. There was so little footage. I think it's only like 4 seconds of the bird in the video. But to me, it was pretty clearly white on the upper and the lower surface of the wing. The only woodpecker in that range that has white on the upper and lower is the red-headed woodpecker, which is a tiny thing compared to either a pileated or an ivory bill. So I have no question about it. And the other concern I have about this is it actually, whether they're saying so directly or not, is implying that all the sightings, because it wasn't just the video, it was individual people on the search team and pairs of people on the search team who claim to have seen an ivory-billed woodpecker, must have conspired together to have that kind of unanimity of opinion. I read Tim Gallagher's book before I interviewed him, and he's one of the people who saw it with somebody else. And how can you get two people to suddenly, I mean, I don't know if they think there's something in the Arkansas water that diluted all these people, or whether they really think that these people who had been seeing hundreds and hundreds of pileated woodpeckers, and there's no evidence that one of them would see a pileated woodpecker and say, that's an ivory bill, and the other one would say, no, it's not, it's pileated. These sightings were pretty instantaneous recognition of it by two really experienced people who had really studied pileated woodpeckers as well.
Well, I can see where there might be a temptation to say that because it would be so wonderful if it truly was an ivory-billed woodpecker, that you might question and you might say, you know, maybe these people just got all excited and they wanted it to be one so badly that they jumped to this conclusion. But even if, whether they're wrong or whether they're right, what possible difference does it make? I mean, people are going to continue to go to Arkansas. They're going to continue to be looking for the ivory-billed woodpecker. They're going to be obviously trying to gather additional photos, additional data. So what does this challenge really mean in the long run?
Well, it's part of what's happened with ivory-billed woodpeckers since the 50s and 60s. Back in the 60s, there was one guy, I can't remember his name, Tim Gallagher gives a lot of information about it in his book, who not only saw an ivory-billed woodpecker, but photographed it. He had one of those Instamatic cameras that people had back in the 60s, those little Kodak cameras that you got this little square print that the moment it was printed started degrading. So they were like the world's worst photographs for any kind of value. And the bird was, actually he had several photographs of it, and he gave them to an ornithologist who brought them to an ornithological meeting. And there was this preconceived belief on the part of the ornithologist who saw it that ivory-billed woodpeckers were already extinct. And so they looked at the photographs. It was clearly an ivory-billed woodpecker in them. And they all said that it was just it was a stuffed woodpecker taken out of a museum and stuck to the tree. And that didn't make sense to me, only because in the photographs, the bird is really wonderfully sleek. And by that time, the ivory-billed woodpeckers that were in museums were getting pretty ratty already, so you wouldn't have that sleekness. But also, there was no even beginning to pinpoint where he could have possibly obtained a museum specimen to begin with to take the photographs of. And it destroyed his career, the ornithologist's career who had shown these pictures. And then there were two famous ornithologists, John V. Dennis, who wrote My Favorite Bird Feeding Guide, but he was an ornithologist. And then John K. Terras, who wrote the Audubon Encyclopedia of North American Birds, which I consider the finest resource for just getting a whole variety of information about birds. Both of those men claimed to have seen an ivory-billed woodpecker. I guess John Terras didn't make the claims very loudly because he saw what happened to John Dennis when he did. He was ridiculed, and his papers were from then on not taken seriously. He was just sort of spurned by the ornithological community. He didn't have a photograph. The ivory-billed woodpecker is huge, so you'd think, well, how can it hide for so long? But ivory-billed woodpeckers were killed at just about any time a person saw an ivory-billed woodpecker, and long before Columbus came here, they killed them. Native people used ivory-billed bills as part of ornamental clothing and things that they traded with other natives. And they were in very high demand and worth a whole lot compared to, like, deer pelts and bear pelts and things like that. And so those birds have been, you know, pretty much in absolute demand. And when people saw them, people killed them. So I can perfectly well understand how they can go undetected. I've been birding for how many years now? Since 1975. And I've never seen a lynx, and I've never even seen a bobcat, but they're both out there, and most of the birders I know, the vast majority of them, have never seen them. Now, if the few who have, I don't know of any of them who took pictures.
Laura, I'm reminded, and I'm saying this with a smile, because I'm reminded of something I heard on the air earlier this week, that there are some new people now that have come forth and said they've seen a Yeti. Are there any kinds of similarities between the ivory-billed woodpecker discovery and the claims about the Yeti or the claims about the Loch Ness Monster? Because it's
Well, the Loch Ness Monster, the guy who made the photographs of it admitted it was a fraud. And there's never been any established existence of the Yeti in the first place, much less rediscovering it. When a Yeti could possibly be documented as existing, that will not be reestablishing the existence of a bird that's been said to be extinct. That will be a new species discovered. And so it's like an entirely different thing.
It's a whole different ball game. Well, we're going to have to count on you to keep us up to speed on this and to help us sort out the conflicting claims as time goes on. Thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us about this morning.
Oh, sure.
Laura Erickson this morning is the host of For the Birds, and her program, of course, a regular feature of Northland Morning here on KUMD.